right, guys, it's time for Wednesday Wrestling Minute. Yeah.
Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute. Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute. Wednesday Wrestling Minute, yeah, Wrestling Minute, Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute.
Wednesday Wrestling Minutes is brought to you thanks to Joe Argentiacono and the Solid B Plus Podcast. If you need more NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Indie Chatter, check out the Solid B Plus Podcast, available on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Mike, QR starts up at number one.
NXT Moments. Adam Cole defeats Danny Burch in a real good match.
It really was. Adam Cole is always good. They tell a really good story in this match. Adam Cole is one of my favorites in the world. He's not the best wrestler, but he tells a great story in the ring, which is super, super important. And he's almost always gets you into the matches.
And he's one of the best promos.
He's one of the best overall wrestlers.
And I hope that he, because it kind of sucked. That was the one thing that sucked about the last takeover, that he wasn't part of it. So hopefully he gets something big for the next one.
Yeah, Donnie. Asshole.
He's a shit.
I mean, I literally made us talk to him like five times, but it's okay. We'll pretend.
But you don't think he's that good, so.
No, I didn't. Listen, great on the mic. Of all the wrestlers they have down there.
I just heard you say
now,
he wasn't even that good.
As a heel, he tells a great story in the ring, but he's no fucking Joey Garvano.
This is like when he said Sami Zayn was the worst of all time on the mic.
Right, exactly.
That. Unbelievable.
All of a sudden, Adam Cole can't go in the ring. Okay.
That's fun.
All right. Okay.
Oh, that's fun.
17 time front of the show. Fuck you.
For real.
Candace Owens, Shayna Baszler, Steve Carino sighting.
Yes,
this
that was
great.
The important thing
this.
Here.
Yeah. Well, no, I marked that big for Steve Carino. I'm a huge Carino fan. But Candace Owens, the shit out of walks it up to her fucking without a fear and then just starts wailing on her and they're pulled apart. This is good.
Love it. Good to see her getting into a teleprogram.
Yep.
Yes. Kairi Sane beats Vanessa Bourne. Bourne is getting much better. I agree.
Yeah, Bourne seems to be making big strides on the mic and in the ring.
Yeah.
She's gotten a lot
of
confidence.
And Kairi Sane called out Shayna Baszler afterward.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm thinking we get that fatal four-way. Oh, what? Let's do it.
It will.
Next week. And also, by the way, Kairi Sane's English is pretty good.
Yes.
And we never really hear her cut promos, but she did a good job.
I think she's honestly better than Asuka in terms of her
English. Yeah, she is. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, Nikki Cross, Kairi Sane, Candice LeRae, and Bianca Belair in a fatal four-way. Not exactly, though.
What do you mean?
They announced Bianca Belair is not going to be in it. So it's just
really?
Why? What happened?
What?
They said not medically cleared.
Spoilers.
She was just on her honeymoon.
Maybe that's why she's not medically cleared.
But she cut a promo.
Yeah, she got it from her.
I'm just really disappointed by it.
Honestly, yeah. Bianca Belair is awesome. This is going to be an awesome Fatal 4. I mean, listen, it's still going to be a great triple threat.
Especially,
I like Bianca
faces.
Belair a lot. Yeah.
Well, maybe she wasn't going to win, and they're like, whatever.
Maybe.
I don't know. Aleister Black is confronted by a crazy Garbanzo, and then Ciampa attacks Black, draping DDTs him on the floor.
Yeah. I like all this.
Awesome. Yeah, I like how Gargano has fucking flipped his lid, basically.
I honestly felt like the way they portrayed this, that fucking Garbanzo knew that Ciampa was waiting there for him, but was like, hey, whatever, fuck you, you don't like taking my advice? I said, watch your fucking back, it's split. Like, he seems like, that almost made it seem like he was working with Ciampa for a second there, but like, dancing, I love him being weird and like, out there and lost because of all this, I really do.
I think Orton somewhat threw shade at Ciampa on Twitter for using that DDT, by the way.
Really?
Which is, I don't know. It's kind of stupid. He probably isn't even aware of what the story was behind it.
Honestly?
He probably doesn't even know.
He
doesn't.
No. Who cares? He doesn't
I'm
know.
Sure.
I mean, who cares?
No, I mean, like, he probably doesn't even know that this happened.
Yeah.
Well, somebody sent him something. I forget who. And
oh.
Yeah, so he, like, responded in some way.
Oh, my God. He literally stole his finishing move from DDP.
From Johnny Ace.
Fuck you.
Stone Cold.
Fuck you.
Just naming names.
Fuck you.
Undisputed Era win back the tag titles against Mustache Mountain after Bate throws towel in for Trent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Great TV match and really good storytelling. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
That was a good match.
Yeah, really good match. And good, really good storytelling,
really good
too.
Not not the best storytelling at the end.
What are you talking about? He fucking was in a lock. He had a knee injury. He's been coming off a knee injury. They're playing off that because they're going to lose the titles. Finally, he's like, I don't want to quit. Come on. But he sees it in his friend's eyes, and he's like, dude, please, do something. And
Tyler Bate, yeah, do something. Like, go in the ring and stomp him to
but they
stop
have to
the
lose the
hold.
Match, dude.
Yeah, do you know who sent...
That makes no sense, though.
I don't hate it at all.
I don't like that finish. I like the overall story, but the fact that Tyler Bate is fucking standing there, and instead of just going in and breaking it up, he throws in the towel, that's really
stupid. The ref said to him, one more fucking time, I'm disqualifying the guy. You guys lose
cool! Then get disqualified, and then you don't lose the title.
No. They're men of honor. Unlike you, you're a piece of shit. They're men of honor.
I know, that was dumb. I really liked the match. I liked the story they told about working over Trent Seven, but you gotta do a better job than that finish. That didn't make sense.
I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. BG? Like it or love it?
It looks, in the moment I liked it.
I love it. I want some
more of it.
I try so hard.
Alright, shut the fuck up. Go ahead.
I can't rise above it. I'm done.
Do you know who hit up Randy Orton about it?
Who?
I don't remember. I saw it on...
Joey Garbanzo.
Goldust.
Oh, yes, Goldust. Yeah, okay.
What did he say?
Interesting. He just said, hey, at Randy Orton with the video clip from WWE NXT of Ciampa doing that.
And what did Randy Orton say?
Yeah.
That's not throwing shade. That's just
it is, though.
Out. Nah. If I was Ciampa, I'd walk right on.
Excuse me, it's mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it wasn't throwing shade, we'd have been like, you know, it's nothing to do with me. That's
whatever.
Cool.
Okay, Lucha Underground moments. Good episode of NXT. They're doing good things. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Matanza Cueto killing off all Y favorites. Cortez Castro dead too.
It's all
that's
my
actually,
favorites.
It's all and favorites.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was in Spanish.
This is Spanish
favorite.
Right? I translated it with Google Translate.
My fault.
Glad that Cortez Castro is dead. The last remnants of the fucking crew.
I'm just glad Cueto, Matanza is a fucking.
That's not true. Man. Part of the crew is with the rabbit tribe.
No, that's not him.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. We'll talk about that too.
Ivelisse beats Joey Ryan for a medallion. Intergender wrestling for life.
Yeah, with a Y. Yes, Ivelisse versus Joey Ryan is awesome. It's exactly what you expect from Joey Ryan matches and Ivelisse too. This is perfect. I had a lot of fun watching
awesome.
This. Yep.
I love Ivelisse. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Mac pins kill shot, giving Mac and Son of Havoc medallions.
Go ahead.
Great match, and Killshot is pissed.
Thank you. You say all the words, and then we discuss it. This was a cool thing, making the Trios champions fight each other again. It seems to be a major beef, and the beef only gets deeper now.
When Cueto announced the stipulation, I'm like, that's kind of convoluted. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But then the way they did it, I was like, okay, it is good, because Mac had to make the decision. Do I stick with my buddy who I've been champion with, or do I stick with this guy who just came into the team? And I like that part.
Yep. And that's why I thought they were going to team up and just get rid of Son of Havoc. That would just be the two of them going forward.
No, to me, I like this because if you remember, they kind of got thrown together in the first place. So, honestly, Mac has no real connection to Killshot. They were kind of thrown into that match together. Killshot was the third man because it was Killshot and Dante Fox. The Mac.
Dante Fox is awesome.
Is he gone or is he coming back?
I don't know. I hope he comes back, but you would think that if he was coming back, they wouldn't have gone through all this trouble.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I do like this because it seems like they're working toward a Killshot heel turn. I think his character works really well as a heel.
Yeah. Mil Muertes beats Cage for a medallion after 1,000 ref bumps and Pentagon and the crowd attacking him. Cage has a title shot next week tonight.
Okay, so here's the deal. The match itself was fantastic. I love the stuff with Cartina being in red and how she's changed. She's not a ghost anymore. Yep. She's a human again.
Never was.
She was unghosted. We'll never know. She's unghosted, yeah. She was blocked, now she's unghosted. The match is excellent. The match is exactly what you'd expect from Cage and Mil Muertes. They beat the fucking shit out of each other. But there's a point where Cage is in the crowd, and behind him is just a dude in a King Cuerno mask. He takes off his mask, and there's a fucking... It's Pentagon, and he kicks, and he's got sneakers on, and he kicks him with like dad sneakers. And
They were New Balance, I think.
They were New Balance. His fucking his arch support is on point.
He's got the cushions.
But he fucking, Muertes wins the match, and it looks like Cartina gives him, like, the lick of death, kind of, like, points at him and shit like that, which is very interesting, and they kind of scamper off. And Cage versus Cage versus Pentagon for the title next week. So Cage didn't win this match, but this is a pretty great matchup.
I loved Pentagon's promo afterwards. Like, he just has so much fucking charisma.
Yep. He's awesome. Like I said, the language barrier is there because he speaks predominantly Spanish, but with a predominantly Spanish fan base.
He said one word in English, and I forget what he said, but it was so fucking funny the way he said it.
Radio.
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. But
he did. Remember when our buddy Angel Mesa met him and said,
"Please
say," he says, "Ring Rust Radio." It's beautiful.
Good.
Oh my God, Mike Chiari!
No,
Mike Chiari is gonna turn into fucking Corey Graves right now. I'm not crying, you're crying.
No, I am crying. I admit it.
The Rabbit Tribe in the Alice in Wonderland vortex.
Alice, what the hell are you gonna say, Alice?
Alice,
Alice in Wonderland?
I am Punk We Trust.
Yeah.
Have you seen Alice in Wonderland vortex? Good. Sorry.
Alice in Wonderland vortex. Follow Masquerade Sagrada to the den of Killer Cross. He orders London to kill Masquerita, and M-Chai cried.
He's
devastating.
So,
it's one of the worst moments.
Honestly, watching them sit in this room was hilarious.
I don't think it was real.
And, yeah, that's what I think that this was another trip, because they're always tripping balls.
Yeah.
They're always fucking dancing on the edge of reality. They're fucking going crazy. A lot of acid involved here. And I think when they go into this dude's room, I'm very interested now because they've been very light with their characters. They've been very fun. But it seems like now we're going to get a lot deeper with them, which will be very interesting because I like where this direction's going. I like this guy, Killer Cross. I've seen a lot more of him now because of Impact. I know what to expect from him. In this role, he's fucking crazy. It's just good. This is very interesting. I know we killed Masquerita Sagrada, but I do not think he's dead.
I hope you're right. I hope he's just like Dragon Azteca, not dead.
Right.
You know what?
He'll be back.
We'll see. My tablet.
Yikes. Impact Wrestling Moments. The OGs destroy Silver Smith and Lee. Lax versus OGs at Slammiversary Street in a 51-50 street fight.
Yeah,
there's a lot
go.
Of things I don't understand.
No, it's first off, LAX, the
Lax,
current
Lax.
ALX, against Homicide and Hernandez. So it's LAX explodes up in this motherfucker. 51-50
Who's Silver Smith?
Fight. Jobbers. They're just jobbers.
Oh.
Just funny names.
So they're like Nord Fernum.
Yep, but it's funny that Silversmith and Lee are just two really... I don't know. Go ahead.
Great. Allie beat Shotzi Blackheart, who is actually really good. I hope she sticks around. Tessa blows up Allie after the match.
So I've
blew
only...
her up?
One thing at a time. Shotzi Blackheart I've seen pictures of for like Rise and stuff like that, but I've never seen her wrestle. So this is the first time I got to see her wrestle. So her and Allie put on a really good match.
You know who she is? The Shotzi Blackheart?
Yeah, what is she?
I believe she was chosen to be on the most recent season of Tough Enough, but then she had some kind of injury, so they had to take her off.
Oh, okay, so she's good.
I guess she's been around a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey.
So it's good. It's a good fucking.
Yeah, there's a picture of her with a Tough Enough shirt.
Yeah.
So she worked a good match against Allie. And then Allie's walking away, and then Tessa fucking comes in and just blows her up from behind, fucking smashes her. So it's fucking. And let's say Tessa's fucking beatdowns have been brutal. She's fucking leaving people jacked up. Tessa's ripped to shit too, by the way. She's like fucking jacked up.
She's fucking up.
Yeah.
Awesome, like 3 seconds.
She beat the fucking shit out of it. And that's the best part. She's a heel, and she's a dickhead heel. She is super cocky. She's super fucking
super
arrogant.
Cock.
Super cock, dude.
Super cock Chestnut.
That should be a superhero.
Super cock. It's just a dude. Cock. He's just like a small dude. Like, I just imagine like a super skinny, goofy white dude, but he just pulls out his dick. It's just huge, dude. He's just like, oh, what? Is this big? I didn't even notice. And everybody's like, whoa, what? rolling up their tongue like those rolling windows from the 60s.
WWE fucked up so bad with Tessa. How do you not sign her immediately?
Honestly, the women's division, Allie's awesome. Rosemary, there's a lot of really talented women over here. Taya, you could say that they miss on a bunch of these women. And you know what? Impact's capitalizing because you got some good stuff going on. We'll talk about
this. Is it not a no-brainer, Charlotte against Tessa Blanchard? Is that not The most fucking obvious thing you've ever heard?
Whatever. Go ahead. Whatever.
You're done.
D'Angelo Williams out-hyping Moose, and Aries destroys him verbally and then physically. I think they should just do D'Angelo Williams against Austin Aries.
Honestly, D'Angelo Williams is really good on the mic here, and he's working hard, really hard, to be a wrestler. And I think that the idea of if Moose is not your champion moving forward, D'Angelo Williams and Moose as a tag team moving forward as former NFL players, you could get a lot out of that. Give them the straps, let them run with them for a long time, let them hit the scene, let them hit the fucking PR scene getting out there, because a lot more people will care about D'Angelo Williams and Moose out there talking to, like, ESPN and shit about the transition from mainstream football to this, than if you bring out some of the guys who nobody really knows yet. So I think it's, I like what they're doing here.
Eli Drake beat Grado, hit on Katarina, and Joe Hendry stepped in.
So it looks like Joe Hendry is going to be smacking up on Katarina and Grado versus Joe Hendry. Eli Drake. Eli Drake is, Grado's like, I'm going to wrestle you. I'm going to wrestle you. And he's like, I don't want to wrestle you. You want to wrestle her. He's just like, he like owns the shit on everybody. He's great.
Should probably just.
And then he looks at Joe. He looks at Joe Hendry because Joe Hendry steps in when he's hitting on Katarina. And he's like, who the hell's this guy? Security, get this guy out of here. He just, like, treats him like shit. He's awesome.
Killer Cross promo, big week for him.
Yes, first off, Killer Cross is really good. He, in the promo there, you kind of see it, but in Impact, they're kind of really letting him loose in terms of he just seems sadistic in the way they, like, cut the film and shit. Like, he's, like, he honestly feels like a Hannibal Lecter kind of character almost, like, where he's really sadistic with what he's talking about.
Then they show new matches for the pay-per-view, including Bourne vs. Cage. Bourne, like, Evan Bourne?
Evan Bourne, yes.
Okay, I didn't know we were going back to that. Fun. And Tessa Blanchard vs. Ali.
I just float.
You didn't even spell Bourne right for Evan Bourne, by the way. Fucked that up in every imaginable way.
My mind floats, dude. You gotta, I just catch it where I can.
This man is hot as shit.
Madison Rain backstage promo turns into a horror movie. And this stuff has been on point.
It really has been. The stuff they're doing with Sue Young. BG, you always do this. You always look it up as we're talking. Madison Rain's doing a backstage interview. She thinks she hears something. She opens a door, and it leads to outside. And she's like stuck
in the
woods. And
then there's a scary shed.
No, there's no scary shed. There's a scary tree. And then they kind of attack on her, but then she opens her eyes, and there's no one there. And then there she is, Sue Young. Go ahead.
And Sammy Callahan beat Rich Swann, Phoenix, and Pentagon in a great TV match.
For real, like OVE and Sammy Callahan work at great heels. Swann, Phoenix, and Pentagon are three of the best workers you'll find anywhere, especially right now. And you put on an awesome match. This is a great tag team match, and I love what they're doing here. They're putting on great matches every single week. So, okay, let's say you have a bad taste for TNA, Impact Wrestling, in your mouth. You tune in one week. Every single week, they're putting on good shows. Honestly, BG, it feels like what 205 Live is doing. They're building something from scratch. Nobody cared about it. And now they're like, okay, we're going to defy you to not watch these awesome matches. We're going to defy you to watch these matches that are getting a buzz online because they are really good. And that's, I feel like, kudos to Impact Wrestling. Kudos to Cyrus the Virus for making this happen and actually changing something. Taking a risk, an educated risk, and just betting on wrestling. And good storytelling as well, which is very good.
Swanagon.
Swanagon, go ahead.
That should be their team name. I have nothing left to say.
Impact Wrestling, say the last line. You missed one.
Impact Wrestling truly doing awesome things right now.
Thank you, Mike, for agreeing with me. I appreciate it. I got it on tape now, and I appreciate that. I'll tweet that for you. But all right, guys, we got to move on.
Are you looking for elite branding for your company or project? Look no further than Daniel Hayden Design. As a branding specialist, Daniel Hayden Design can provide you with website designs, t-shirt designs, editorial designs, photo editing, and so much more. Check out Daniel Hayden Design on Instagram and Twitter at Daniel Hayden or at dhaydendesign.com. That's dhaydendesign.com. Again, dhaydendesign.com.
What's up, wrestling fans? When you're done getting your sports entertainment fix with the boys of Ring Rust Radio,
join Edge of Philly Sports every Thursday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live on Facebook.
Joey Delco, the Urban Thriller Mike Miller, and Big Al layeth the smackdown on all things Philly sports.
Do you love the Ring Rust retro theme? Are you digging the intro song to Attention Horrors? If you want music for your project, look no further than Elizer EZB Bercasio for all of your custom music needs. Find him on Twitter and Instagram at SOSHISLIKE. That is at SOSHISLIKE. And listen to some of his work on SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE. That's SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE. Remember, check out EZB for all of your custom music needs. That's SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE.
Shaving can be a nightmare if you have sensitive skin like me. Thankfully, I found a way to make shaving less painful for your face and your wallet. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So they created a trial offer, and you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/ringrust. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set when you sign up at harrys.com/ringrust. Your trial shave set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of Ringrust Radio can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/ringrust. Make sure you go to harrys.com/ringrust to redeem your offer and let them know that I sent you to help support the show. That's harrys.com/ringrust, harrys.com/ringrust.
Hey, Ring Rust Radio listeners, this is Wade Keller from Pro Wrestling Torch inviting you to check out my podcasts, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcasts, free 4 days per week. Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or any podcast app on your iPhone or Android device, and you'll see two logos pop up, a red logo, that's for our post Raw and post SmackDown shows, and a blue logo, that's my Podcast One feed featuring Flagship Thursday and Interview Friday. On the Raw and SmackDown post shows, we take your calls live as soon as the show goes off the air at WadeKellerPodcast.com. We talk to an on-site correspondent about what happened off-air, and I'm joined by a wide array of co-hosts in rotation, including Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio, and then we answer your email questions. Check it out. That's the Wade Keller Post Show and Wade Keller Podcast. Search Wade Keller and subscribe.
All right, guys, it's time for Dirt Sheet Busters. Hit that music!
Scoop, scoop, per sauce, there's a feeling that it's interesting to note. Dirt Sheet Busters! If there's something strange in the latest report, who are you gonna call? Dirt Sheet Busters! If it's an egregious lie and anonymously sourced, who are you gonna call? Dirt Sheet Busters! I ain't afraid of no lies. I ain't printing a retraction. Dirt Sheet Busters!
Alright, Mike Chiari, let's get right into this. Come on.
This first one's from PW Insider. We just can't escape Kidman.
I come to love him. It's that relationship where you're like, you know, just get away from me. And finally, like, you're like, at last, my love has come along.
Vince McMahon's usually present in the gorilla position backstage at WWE's pay-per-views and television shows. He wasn't in Pittsburgh for Extreme Rules, but he was in communication with WWE officials. PW Insider reports that Triple H and Billy Kidman took over in the gorilla position during Extreme Rules last night. Kidman has been a producer for WWE since 2011. Also, it was reported the original plan for the show was for the Iron Man match between Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler to open the event. The final hour of Extreme Rules was initially slated to consist of Nia Jax vs. Alexa Bliss, AJ Styles vs. Rusev, with Roman Reigns vs. Bobby Lashley as the main event. But Kidman was like, fuck that, the old man's gone.
Yeah, he's like, right. Yeah, again, it's risky business. And he's like, come on, Kid. He just got the match card, and he's just ripping it up, and he's like, we're putting Rollins on last. Just as he's sliding around and shit, Triple H is like, stop running so fast. But then he comes sliding in, too, and he's like, it's always so good when he's gone.
I hope that when Vince passes away, whenever that might be, he has... I don't hope that he does.
Yeah, it's soon. I hope soon.
He gives us one last swerve, and in his will, he leaves the company to Kidman.
He leaves it to Donald Trump. It's like, that's the thing. He's like, you know, I leave it in the hands of Donald Trump, and everybody's like, what the fuck just happened? And then it's
CM Punk.
He brings CM Punk in as the president. He's like, you know, I don't know a lot about wrestling, so I brought in a guy who knows a lot. And it's like, it's CM Punk.
This is from Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Melt has been watching Raw for the past 4 months.
Okay, well, you know what? At least, you know what? I was going to say, at least he has to go through the hell I go through. We're going through the same hell. Fine.
As noted, there was no mention of Brock Lesnar on Raw this past Monday night. Lesnar appeared
at... Not true, they did mention him.
Well, this is the previous week. This was since last show, but whatever. Lesnar appeared at UFC 226 this past Saturday and shoved Daniel Cormier, teasing a future fight between the two. Lesnar also put himself back in the US ADA drug testing pool. Despite the UFC appearance playing in a WWE storyline about Lesnar wanting to leave the company for UFC, Dave Meltzer reported in the latest edition of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, and Vince McMahon made the decision not to mention him to focus building on Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. McMahon told everyone at the production meeting before Raw that Lesnar's name wasn't to be mentioned, and they could start talking him again when he's being offered to our audience so we can capitalize on it. That's a direct quote from Vince McMahon.
Wow.
Meltzer noted that McMahon is adamant about creating the idea that Lesnar is turning his back on the fans and leaving for the UFC. He has for the past 4 months.
Well, to me, I mean, they did hype up Ronda Rousey going to the Hall of Fame, but they didn't mention Brock. It's weird.
Meltzer told us why. Because they want to make it seem like Lesnar's a dickhead. Which we've said months
ago. Wouldn't showing up there and not showing up on WWE programming kind of indicate that as well, though? Like saying, like, hey, look at him, he came there, and you got time for that, but you don't have time for this, you know? Seems odd. I don't know.
That's from Wrestling Observer Newsletter. WWE and Rey Mysterio are crossing those T's and dotting those I's.
I mean, we saw Rey Mysterio in the WWE 2K thing. We see the history of those guys then signing with WWE. It's fair to say that's probably happening.
As we first reported last week, Rey Mysterio continues to talk with WWE officials about a return, but he's not signed, despite
talking
recent reports.
Talking.
We noted that Mysterio was still planning on working all in on September 1st. The talks are close enough that they have planned, that they have talked about what commitments Mysterio has and does not have left, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter. All in is a key topic of the negotiations. Mysterio wants to work the show for obvious reasons. And WWE would rather he not work the show for the same reasons.
Rey Mysterio would be money, and there'd be publicity, so they're not the same reasons.
I would like to know what the obvious reasons are, because they're so obvious, but I don't know them.
Well, money. Rey would do it for money, but yeah, WWE's worried about is him injuring himself and working for another company.
Well, no, but they have the exact same reasons, both of them.
I don't know.
Mysterio is also looking to drop his Crash heavyweight title in Mexico if he signs with WWE.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, Mysterio confirmed last month that he and WWE were negotiating a 3-year deal. The Observer recently reported that WWE wanted to break the announcement themselves if they finalize a deal, so the return will likely be announced as soon as it is finalized.
They're signing the 3-year deal because apparently they can freeze your contract if you're injured, and they know he's going to get injured, so they just want to own him for the rest of his fucking life. You got to come back and serve this 3 years. He's like, I'm 81 years old. I'm like, oh, we still got you.
Like Neville, except that's not injury, but they still own him. The two sides are said to be really close to a deal, but the major issue continues to be Mysterio wanting to work a part-time schedule. Great. So, obvious reasons, guys.
I don't know.
It's from Wrestling Inc. Chelsea Green hasn't been asked to be in the Mae Young Classic. Per Chelsea Green.
Okay. All right.
As previously noted,
She's really awesome.
I hope she's still in it. As previously noted, Chelsea Green was a guest on the Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly show at the end of May and discussed whether WWE has contacted her regarding the Mae Young Classic. No, I haven't, said Green, and actually, I don't know if you guys know Santana Garrett or Britt Baker. We keep in contact all the time. We're very open. There's no secret between us. We tell each other exactly what's happening, what conversations we've had with WWE, and I was just talking to them today. I haven't heard anything. Heard a lot of girls, a lot of buzz about it. A lot of girls saying they heard from so-and-so at the Performance Center. I've not heard anything, so I'm acting as if this isn't a possibility for me, keeping myself really busy. My schedule is full, so that way if they don't call, I'm not disappointed, and if they do call, I'm going to be excited and ready because I'm busy. Following this interview, Green was among the list of former Impact Wrestling and current indie talent who reported to have a tryout at the Performance Center. Per a WWE source, Green has not been contacted yet regarding participating in the Mae Young Classic or moving forward. However, I was informed that it may take up to 6 weeks for WWE to contact tryout attendees. So, per a source...
Wait.
Which is Chelsea Green saying, I have not been contacted.
It would take 6 weeks to contact a tryout attendee?
Yeah, what they do is they do the Pony Express, actually.
Oh, alright.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the inner workings, but I just hope she's in the main.
Of the internet?
She's awesome.
This is from Cage Side Seats. Vince's shallowest, lightest secret.
Okay, I don't know. Like, buried? Very shallow?
What's his story?
Oh,
why'd you ask?
He suckered me in. He did.
It is an open secret.
Okay, that's not how secrets work.
It is an open...
That's awesome. I love it. The best website.
It is an open secret that Vince McMahon wants Roman Reigns to be the guy of WWE. Someone who could be the spearhead and the central figure of the company for the next few years. Many thought that WrestleMania 34 was where he would win the Universal title, become the top dog of the company. But that didn't happen, as Brock Lesnar retained his title.
He is the top dog of the company, title or not.
They've been saying the same report for 4 years. It's like he's been there for the past three years.
Every couple years, he's just going to get coronated again. Just get ready for it.
Cage Side Seats are now reporting that Lesnar will face Reigns for the title at SummerSlam. More like Dumber Slam.
Yes, yeah. good one.
Super Slam.
The heart of the matter. The K-Side Seats report states that Reigns will defeat Lashley next week and then will face Lesnar at SummerSlam. The report also states that Reigns will defeat Lesnar and win the Universal title for the first time. Reigns has faced Lesnar twice for the Universal title, WrestleMania 34 and the Greatest Royal Rumble, and lost both matches. I think this is wrong, by the way. Mm. We all do. So that's fun.
Whatever.
I pick
the hills I die on, and this ain't one of them.
This is from the Dirty Sheets. Bill Zahadi acts like he didn't just say last week that D-Bry was probs leaving WWE.
Whoa.
You recall that report where he said quite definitively that they're booking as if this is it for him?
No, I ignore you most of the time.
The Dirty Sheets have been at the forefront of all things relating to Daniel Bryan throughout 2018. We were the only site to report that Bryan was attempting to get full clearance in December 2017. And that a tag match against Owens and Zayn was on the table for WrestleMania.
I'll tell you what, when I was searching for Ring Rust on the podcast thing there, it said suggestions of other shows you should like, and then this show popped up.
Yikes. Yeah. Don't like it.
Nah,
with Bryan originally set to participate in a limited capacity before clearance was granted. Whilst the Dirty Sheets were single-handedly, not handedly, completely on top of the situation. Other sites continue to wrongly resign Bryan to the Japanese and independent scenes. Lately, we've been the only site to accurately report news relating to his ongoing contract negotiations, highlighting creative issues, a lighter schedule, and a desire to work with Brock Lesnar. Facts that were all confirmed by Bryan in a recent interview. After months of negotiations, we can now confirm that Daniel Bryan has opted to sign a short 3-month contract extension beginning on September 1st and ending on December 1st. This deal is in place so that Bryan can work shows in Australia and Saudi Arabia in the Survivor Series whilst contract negotiations continue for a long-term deal. It's being said that a long-term deal can replace a 3-month deal anytime. However, it's more likely that Bryan will begin his new deal on January 1st, giving him full control of his obligations during December, where he strongly wishes to spend time with his family. According to our sources, the parties aren't too far from agreeing on a new deal whilst creative control hasn't been granted by WWE, a right to refusal has been agreed upon, which sounds a lot like creative control, along with a lighter schedule. With Bryan's main concerns no longer an issue, he's now 99% likely to pen a new long-term deal with the company.
Wow.
It's so weird how this came out after this week. Daniel Bryan's like, oh yeah, so my wife still, you know, kind of works for the company, so there's a good chance I'm going to re-sign with him.
Hmm.
Of course he's going to re-sign.
Coincidence.
He's definitely going to fucking re-sign.
It's coincidence.
As we've been saying. And he's acting like he's been on top of it. He said last week he's going to be gone, probably.
I don't know.
No?
Nope.
People change their minds, bro.
Yep. Ever happen? I do it literally segment to segment.
That's really true. WrestleVotes absolutely nails how the Universal Championship number one contender will be determined.
Why are you blowing up my spot?
Hearing either a fatal four-way or six-pack challenge is the main event for Raw tonight. To determine Lesnar's SummerSlam opponent,
close.
Big Dog
yeah,
will
no,
be
no,
the match.
No, 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 I'm going to give him that because it was just it's another match with six men involved. I'm allowing
no,
that.
No, there were two matches with three men involved, so he didn't have it at all.
Yeah, but they just changed their mind. They're like, how we figure it out. You hear about it early. They're writing the show during the day. I'm allowing this.
Following up, hearing it's a six-pack challenge for Raw tonight. Superstars involved look like Reigns, Lashley, Elias, Balor, Rollins, and McIntyre.
So they're wrong.
So yeah, but it was two three-man matches. They just decided at the end, like, you know, fuck this. We needed two matches out of this. Let's get two matches. We're going to split it up.
Nah, man.
They had all the participants, right?
Source had the right mix of superstars, wrong match type. It happens. Can't be correct all the time. Or I'd have to start charging for this service. Enjoy Raw.
Wow. Did he say that?
Yeah.
He wrote that. Okay, I can't believe that.
Yikes.
I buy it now, actually.
I do too.
I'm flipping.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're both flipping.
I am flippant to this entire situation.
Yeah.
I'll
Google that, and I'll be either mad or happy with you. I don't know.
WrestleVotes absolutely nails the main event of Extreme Rules.
Oh, shit, dude. Back to back, dude. For real, why are you blowing my spot?
Source says, as of Monday, Reigns vs. Lashley is scheduled to go last at Extreme Rules. There was, maybe still is, a push to have Rollins vs. Ziggler Iron Man in that spot.
Whoa, he's right about that, and it won. He was telling you the whole time.
But that's unlikely. Almost no support for Styles vs. Rusev, which says something about that program. That sucks.
He's right on the money, dude. This dude's
he's
right
not
on the money.
Right on the money. He was wrong again. He was way off the money.
No, dude. I think right now you're fucking trying to blow up the spot, but you're the one who's wrong.
Nope. Not wrong at all. Ready for the coup de grace? Titus O'Neil slid right past Hulk Hogan backstage.
Yikes.
Psych! Let's get to the first part here. Now we've noted before that Raw wrestler Titus O'Neil isn't happy about Hulk Hogan being reinstated in the WWE Hall of Fame. Below is a screenshot of Titus liking negative comments about this, Hogan News on Instagram. And so they have a screenshot. He liked comments that said, fuck this. And also, wow, interesting. That's such a negative comment. Wow, interesting. Most negative thing I've ever heard. And an update to this, Joseph Pisech of No Holds Barred Podcast, if you remember, he's the guy that said there was going to be greatest WrestleMania in 2020, revealed that a source told him...
Yes, I remember that. Yes. Two WrestleManias.
He revealed that a source told him that Titus wasn't happy when he saw
Hogan. He's like, yo, the first one's going to be called WrestleMania. Second WrestleMania, we'll call it SummerSlam.
It's
WrestleMania 2, Part 2, SummerSlam.
He revealed that source told him that Titus wasn't happy when he saw Hogan backstage at Extreme Rules. Hogan approached Titus, offered a handshake, and tried to talk to him, but Titus didn't shake his hand, packed his bags, and left the event.
Wow. He got shut the fuck down. He's like, awesome story, dude, and fucking walked the fuck away from him.
Well, today, the New Day posted a very thoughtful statement. Very thoughtful statement regarding the reinstatement of Hulk Hogan, and
I just
kind of
this.
Addressed...
Can you read it?
It's very long, but basically, the gist of it is...
It's a tweet.
It's a screenshot of a long thing.
Oh, okay.
But the gist of it is they said they're indifferent to the situation. Like, it doesn't impact what they're going to do as performers. They don't agree whatsoever with the things that were said. They don't want to associate with people that say stuff like that. But at the same time, if he puts in the work and shows that he's not going to go down that road anymore, then maybe they can work with him in the future. Basically that type of thing. So Titus O'Neil replies to the statement, and he says, in full agreement and support of everything said in this statement, my additional response to this to follow is there have been numerous erroneous reports on my views in response to the situation.
Ooh. He wasn't talking about this one, though.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I don't
this
know. I don't think
one.
He's
this
about
is
this
the one.
One. I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh.
Don't go down that road.
Titus just owns you. You thought you were using this to own the dirt sheets, and he just owned you. This way, he wasn't talking about this one. Okay, good. Is that it? Is that it for Dirt Sheet Busters? Unfucking believable. Yep. The dirt sheets. Listen, I'm really surprised they lied.
Are you?
Nope.
Yeah.
BG, how we do? Mike Chiari, how we do? Ooh, LOL, me winning. All right, guys, time to finish the standings or whatever. Go ahead.
All right, well, in last place with negative 110, it's BG.
Oof. BG seems to be making a rise.
I'm moving up, man.
You are moving up. I don't like that.
You gain like 10 or 15 points. Good job.
Doing well.
In 16th with negative 90, Joe.
Oh, come on, Joe.
A little bad.
Sell for me.
Come on, for Joe.
Sound like a monster, dude.
You don't listen anymore anyway.
Who would? In 15th with negative 22.5, Daniel.
Hey, we're getting closer to not being negative.
Oi!
Hello.
In 14th with negative 20, Alex McNinch.
Okay, so it seems like now we're getting a logjam of negatives here.
Well, in 13th with negative 2.5,
Ira. Everybody seems to be making a late... I think last week I kind of had a bit of a meltdown on everybody because of the negatives, including myself. I was very down. We started yelling about everybody being negatives. I feel like everybody took the draft a little serious and we made some strides. We did really well. Good job, everybody.
Tie for 11th was 0, Robert Hernandez and Matt Judd.
Okay, Robert Hernandez is a 0, so that's perfect.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. He knows I love him.
AJ Styles.
Remember that? You look like AJ Styles. He looked at me.
You listen
like,
to drunk people on Bourbon Street.
Drunk people on Bourbon Street?
Never heard of it. In 10th with 5, Donnie.
There we go! Big moves! Big moves!
In 9th with 17.5, Dante.
There you go, Dante. That's all I like to hear. Put the ball in play.
In 8th with 27.5, Andrew Sampson.
There you go. Fucking maybe pay a little more attention to the draft, Sampson, and fucking less on Rubber Doll and shit, all right? Mm-hmm.
In 7th with 35, Roger Allen.
There you go, Roger Allen. Thank you for your service, you piece of shit.
Damn.
Tie for 5th with 60, George Sparrows and Matt Cantillon.
Oh, that's a good combination. I spit in their faces and shake their hands.
You spit on your hand?
Nah, that's disgusting.
In 4th with 65, Moises Alou used to piss on his hands for better grip. In 4th with 65, Angel.
Moises Alou does not... I'm not taking advice from him anymore.
No?
Nope.
Did you used to?
Yeah. He was my financial advisor, but now I know I piss on his hands. I don't trust him anymore.
He touches your money with that.
The only time anyone is allowed to piss on me is if I'm stung by a jellyfish. The only time. Then you know what? Here's your chance. You get to literally piss on my leg.
In 3rd with 77.5, Big Money Mike.
There you go, you stupid idiot. You fucking stupid
Roman
idiot.
Roman Reigns, the guy just never wins anymore.
Shut up.
Really
shut
over,
up.
You know?
Fucking, I want a Superman punch your fucking head, dude.
In 2nd with 105, George Cruz.
There you go, George. You deserve not being in 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And at 1st with 140, Andrew Skeens.
Skeener! Fucking, what a wild... Listen, this was a runaway from Jump. And I felt like it was going to be, and then Mike here, you kind of got in there, and now we have a kind of a log jam up there. What's the winning score right now?
140.
140. And how many do I have?
5.
Okay, listen, I got how many weeks? How many weeks do I got?
You got a month.
I got this. Listen, I made a big move. Let's talk about moves.
All right. So
just tell me who made moves.
Yeah. In no particular order. Andrew Skeens dropped Peyton Royce and picked up Mojo Rawley.
That's probably a smart move by him.
Yep. Donnie dropped the Murph and picked up Samoa Joe.
Damn right. Good. That's a good pick. Good pick!
Because there was collusion, which we'll get to. Dragon, Andrew Sampson, dropped Billy Kay and picked up Brock Lesnar.
Remember
her?
Maybe it'll be a defense. I don't know. But it's better than you're going to get all the losses, so that's fine.
Joe, who I assume is trying to beat BG for the worst score, drops Samoa Joe when he's on the verge of an obvious push, picked up fucking Kane, who has a broken ankle. Good job. That's a collusion.
That is not collusion. No such thing as collusion.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a
collusion.
Fucking cheating.
I honestly have not talked to Joe in weeks. I miss him.
Yep.
I miss you, Joe, if you're listening. I miss you.
BG dropped Big Cass, not on the roster anymore, picked up Nia Jax. And Matt Judd dropped Sasha Banks, picked up Bobby Roode. That didn't pay dividends.
No, absolutely not. You should have learned from me, bro. Should have learned from me, man. I'm at 5 points because that asshole.
Yeah. Get your best friend in here and fucking start colluding.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's a dumb opinion. It's time for emails, guys. RingRustRadio@yahoo.com. Keep it short, keep it sweet, keep it perfect. What we're talking about. Mike Yuri?
This is from Ethan, peer son of Havoc.
Ugh, I'll allow it, but it's okay. Only because I'm okay. Son of Havoc, but it's just, I don't like you.
There's a lot to that one.
Yep. Subject, disgusting fan moments. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. You can chip it to the email tier or higher. Guaranteed gives one email right on this show every single month. Hello, three Rustateers. Sunday's Extreme Rules was actually pretty decent, and I was super excited that Rollins and Ziggler were closing the show, as they are two of my favorites in a match that had the potential to be a Match of the Year contender. Unfortunately, those dickhead fans ruined it by chanting along with the clock, paying no attention to the match. It got me thinking, what are the most disgusting fan moments you can think of that completely ruined a match or moment? This Sunday's was one of the worst for me, but another bad one was in 2015 when the crowd would chant, "You suck Cena and you suck Bryan" at the Bella Twins. Yes, the Bella Twins can be terrible sometimes, but sexist chants like that have no place in wrestling. Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys. Ethan.
Yeah, they agreed come, on. They come here. Those sexist chants come here, and they're just like, eat shit. Eat shit, back of the moon.
Ethan's I agree. It's a sexist chant.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. I agree on all counts of this email. A couple that stand out to me.
Oh, hold on. I got one. I mean, just it's very recently. I remember I was watching Raw last night. Next to this woman holding this rainbow sign, I saw this pear-shaped man. He was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. That's one of the times where disgusting fan moments I could think of.
So the ones
I
that
get
really,
it. I get it.
Thank you.
The ones that really bothered me were the fans being assholes about the Universal title during Rollins vs. Balor at SummerSlam 2016. Which they just totally overshadowed a good match by chanting about the fucking title. And then, I don't remember exactly when it was, but fans were doing what chants during an Undertaker promo in Minnesota on Raw a while back, and that was fucking bullshit.
I think we all were just like, yikes, dude.
Yep. I think that was leading up to the Brock Lesnar WrestleMania.
I don't know. It was just absurd. It was fucking ridiculous that they would do that to the Undertaker.
BG?
To me, it's like any time.
Can you turn the motorcycles down?
AJ, he's going by. To me, it's any time a fan attacks somebody. Like Eddie Guerrero versus Rob Van Dam, that ladder match on Raw, a fan runs in, gets fucking pumped out by Eddie Guerrero, which is great. But like, you've had people recently where they're like attacking Dean Ambrose, they're throwing shit at Roman Reigns, Shawn Michaels hitting the head with the fucking battery. It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? The Kalisto thing with the water bottle, like guys fucking laying there.
Yeah, but the gifts.
It did make a great gift.
Yeah, several of them. Sure. I've had
but
some
still,
good
like, stop
belly
fucking throwing shit. Stop attacking people. I remember when I went to SummerSlam 2002, Donnie. It was before the Triple H Shawn Michaels match, and a fan threw like some water or a water bottle towards the ring, got ejected.
Yeah,
and everyone was Triple like, H "You're a fucking." It. Well, no, but it was like everyone's like fucking asshole. Like the best matches, like that you saw, like the main events, the Triple H Shawn Michaels coming out, and it was like
shit. They don't
you're
think.
A fucking idiot. Like
it's like the, it's like dudes who get shit faced at an event and then have to leave halfway through because they're too drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the fucking Irishman from WrestleMania 33.
Exactly, like fucking exactly like them. I mine isn't really in wrestling. It's one of the moments I had as a kid. I went to a Cowboys game. And we were trying to boo, and Michael Irvin's just sleeping on the field, and we're just
like,
"What
the fuck?"
That's so ignorant of you to sleep there. We're booing here.
Wow, making fun of injuries—that's fun.
I mean, we did boo him when he was injured on the field, but
he also booed Santa Claus. So,
well,
nothing is sacred.
No, we threw snowballs and shit at Santa.
Yeah,
batteries.
No, I don't think we threw batteries.
Yeah,
think...
yeah, they probably did.
It was like 1955. I don't think they even had batteries.
It was not 1955. It was in like the fucking 80s.
No, was it? No. The no, the true incident of us throwing snowballs at Santa comes from a game of back days, like 50s or 40s.
That's not the one that they always talk about.
Yes, it is. That's why it's in
black
and white.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was one more recent than that.
Yeah, of course, because that's kind of like they're just copycat. The original story, because I think it's from the 50s, because they said the guy who came out, the reason we threw snowballs and shit at him is because the guy called out, and they needed someone to fill in, so the skinny dude put on a shitty outfit and got out there, and they're like, fuck this Santa, and they fucked him up.
Great.
Okay. Next email.
Next email comes from Dante fucking Kane. Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Subject. It's a Patreon email, by the way, Donnie. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Donate to the email tier or higher. Guarantee you get at least one email read on the show each month as long as you put Patreon in the subject title when you email us. Mm-hmm. Ringrustradio.com. Subject, so long, boys.
Oh, man.
Hey, boys. I recently decided I'm no longer going to affiliate myself.
Hold on. I was eating, but I got to come back here.
What are you eating?
Elio's.
Man, shit was good when I was like six.
The So Long Boys was my backyard tag team name as well, by the way.
The So Long Boys?
Yep.
With a Z?
Nope.
With three Z's.
With three Z's, exactly.
How did you know that?
Because I put you to sleep.
Like Michael Irvin?
Yikes.
Is that where you got it from?
Uh-huh.
Hey, boys. With three Z's. I've recently decided I'm no longer going to affiliate myself with wrestling. It's boring, bland, and plain awful nowadays, so much that I've just had it and lost interest. Therefore, many years ago. Therefore, after much deliberation, I decided to end my patronage with y'all and everything I have to do with wrestling.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed the years y'all entertained me, and I'm forever grateful, but I guess it's time to move on. Thanks for the memories, guys. Dante.
Oh, I got a break. I got a Dear John letter. This is bullshit, dude.
Psych, JK. I love y'all. Wrestling got and the us. Podcast. I never stopped supporting you guys. I haven't ruined email in a while, and so I've decided to BS with y'all. Ha ha. Hope all is well, guys, and can't wait to meet y'all again. Love you guys. Sorry for the length. But like I told her, just bite the pillow.
Yeah, hey, come on, dude. Johnny Ace just took over for you, you monster.
This man is drunk.
He is drunk, everybody. Just leave him alone. But honestly, Dante, thank you so much for always supporting us. And guys, if you want to support us, guys, patreon.com/radio. Dante is absolutely taking advantage of all of the tiers. He's a great friend of the show. And if you ever have any questions, like, you think I should do this, ask Dante. Reach out to him on Twitter. Yeah. He is always around, and he will always answer very honestly about he maximizes his time. He has a lot of fun. We heard him pee on the phone one time. It was very funny.
We did.
And Donnie, what's another way for fans to interact with us very soon?
Oh, that's a great point. Probably should have done that much earlier, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. The video file thing we talked about during Raw. I'm definitely not going to cut it in earlier. Nah, you have a free off. Go. It's on Get Vocal. Check out Get Vocal.
Isn't it Go Vocal?
Go Vocal? No, Get Vocal.
Get Vocal.
Get Vocal.
Go Vocal would be weird.
Yeah. V-O-K-L-E. V-O-K-L-L-E. So that's how you do that. Get Vocal. And check us out. We're going to have links.
No, it's V-O-K-L.
Yeah.
It's Get V-O-K-L. Get Vocal.
Listen, there's going to be real links on Facebook, and there's going to be links on Twitter, and there's going to be links as many places as I can put it. So please, if you want to see video of us, we're going to be doing a post show Monday night at 11:15 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh,
why'd you make me do it? I was eating. I was eating. I wasn't prepared.
I thought you'd know what was going on.
Nope.
You fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked up.
Three, two, one.
All right, read my email, Mike, because I'm busy real quick.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's from Andrew Big E Langman. Subject, Ring Rusty Memory. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Contribute to the email tier higher. Guarantee is one email run the show every single month. Ring Ross!
Ring
I loved last week's email about your favorite Triple R inside jokes, smarks, comments, etc. I thought I'd take a walk down memory lane, bring up a few more that were forgotten. Number one, yeah, hi, 1, 2, 3.
I do miss that too. That's very fun.
It's in our agenda.
It is in our agenda every week. I don't say it anymore.
Mm.
How about Melts Fan 69? Remember him?
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Legend.
Point.
Just the fact that we call the fucker the Melts.
Yeah, hold on, that was MeltsFan69 was original wrestle votes.
Pretty much. Falcon Arrow, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was Dolphin Fan.
There was so many things. He was Melts Fan, alright? Even when I meet other wrestling fans in real life, I usually refer to him as the Melts, or just Melts, without realizing that's not even his name. Same with the Alv. Number four. So you thought... I had you fooled.
That's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime someone takes a cement pillar to the dome and it's just to trick you, that's dedication, dude. It could kill you.
Number five. Oh, my tablet.
Ah, yes, always.
Number six, Empire State Wrestling. I don't know what the joke is there. What's the joke?
Let me say something. What's a Jazzy what Jazzy Gabbert? What the hell was the woman's name from Impact Wrestling? Shotsky?
Yeah.
Shotsky? Whatever.
Shotsky.
Shotsky Blackheart. I know. It just takes me a little bit to get there. She's from Empire State Wrestling.
Flippy slapping.
Oh, really? She came through there? That's cool. Oh, did you see the gif a couple weeks ago of that ginormous guy destroying the guy out of the ring with a pound?
Yeah, with a pound.
That was from Empire State Wrestling.
It made ESPN.
Yeah.
And the Bleacher Report.
Empire State Wrestling.
That was crazy.
Empire State Wrestling gained the respect it deserves. That wasn't Super Beast, by the way. That was
there? Did you guys see like a different angle? Was ever a different angle recorded for that?
I didn't.
Did he go into the crowd?
I don't know.
Yeah, he released he released his GoPro footage.
Well, I didn't know if someone like
that. Would be awesome.
There's not a lot of cameras out there at Empire State Wrestling.
Yeah, this is from the one dude in the back holding up his cell phone, standing on a chair, being like, "Yo, we're gonna release this online."
Number seven, Jahinder Mahal's.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Number eight, Bill Zahadi.
Not funny or cool.
So, I always thought we were saying Bill's a hottie.
We are.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, but he spelled it differently.
Yeah, all right, just making sure.
Z and such. Number nine, Sheamus versus Mike Quackenbush. That's a or Sheamus and the Necro Butcher.
No, Sheamus and Necro Butcher,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Mike Quackenbush did something on Joe's card.
Quack's awesome. First off, Quack's awesome. Chikara's great. Fuck you.
Number 10, BG refusing to say Great Balls of Fire and everyone else resorting to G-Boff. That was a good time. And a bonus.
Simple time.
A bonus. You want title match?
Oh, my God. Offensive, dude.
Ring Rust!
Ring Rust?
From Andrew Q, Jimmy Wang Langman.
Unbelievable. Unfucking believable.
That's a good one. Those are all good ones.
They were.
Is that it for emails this week?
That.
And we're out of here! Guys, find us at Donald_Wood on Twitter. I am at Travel Pulse. I am at Bleacher Report. I'm all over the web. BG?
BGNY3 and at Ring Rust Radio on Twitter.
Mike Chiari?
I am at Mike Chiari, C-H-I-A-R-I, on Twitter. You can read all of my articles at BleacherReport.com.
How is Mike Chikari going to talk shit on Mike Quackenbush? That's disgusting. RingRustRadio.com, that's our website. RingRust Radio on YouTube. All of our interviews are over there. Facebook us. We got a group over there. We got a group of fans over there who absolutely love talking about the show, talking about wrestling,
talking about people.
Go out and go over there and hang out. How is it, BG? You said you're in there. Is it fun in there?
It's a great time. I frequent every day.
That's a lie. iTunes, Stitcher, and Google
Play. Let's tear down!
Five stars and a good review. Get on there and help us out. At Ring Rust Radio on Twitter. Ring Rust Radio at Yahoo.com. Ring Rust Radio at Yahoo.com. Starting up. I'm like an old car. Mike T-shirts.
Cut your dick! Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRustRadio. There are just so many fantastic t-shirt designs. You really can't go wrong with any of them on there. Buy them all. But if you can only buy one, cut your dick!
So dumb. It's just...
Talk Patreon.
Patreon.com/RingRustRadio. Go there to sign up for a Ring Rust Retro, a match commentary, but most importantly, right now, for just a dollar or more, vote on who put together the best all-time WWE July pay-per-view match card, because it's bullshit. Donnie's winning right now. It's fucking disgusting.
Woo, baby. I like that. Let me ask you a question. What was the song we mentioned earlier? No, you said it. I gotta play that.
I didn't say it.
You did. Mike Carey.
I said it. No, I said it.
Yeah, don't fucking accuse me.
What was the song? What was it?
Curtis Axel song.
No, it wasn't that.
No, you idiot. You got the list right in front of you. Go down.
I'm looking. I know. I'm looking at it right now.
Come on. Why are you fucking dragging ass, dude? You suck. You can't even find it.
Get party thoughts.
You fucking can't even find it.
Daniel Bryan song.
I really don't remember. The rain song?
No.
It wasn't a rain song.
Christmas song.
Okay, now you're just yelling things. All right, we're going to go.
What the hell was it?
We're going to go out on no, at heel underscore turn, the band that made the intro to this show. They also let us play a few more of the other songs. How about No More Woo Woo Woo? We'll go out No More Woo Woo Woo.
I think it was a Lord Tensai song.
I haven't seen Zack Ryder in like a year, so that fits.
Yeah, perfect. We mentioned 7 or 8 songs that would have fit much better, but we just decided to go randomly in the other fucking direction, because welcome to our hell. This is our life. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We always appreciate the patrons. Get on there. Support us. Patreon.com/RingRustRadio. And please help us, because you know what? We love doing this show. And without you, we can't do it. You know what I mean? Guys are the best. We love you guys. Every single one of you.
Get vocal Monday.
Yeah. Just keep yelling about it. But yeah, that's good. But yes, God bless America. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next week. And here we go. We're going out with what? No More Woo Woo Woo? Fine. We're doing that.
Yeah.